Hello and welcome to This Might Be The News for a New York-based special. I am in the States this week with my friend Carrie.
Hello, this is Carrie.
And my friend Brad.
This is Brad.
Did you like layer on the, thicken up the American accent there?
Yeah, drop a couple octaves.
That's what our listeners want. So someone just happened to be in the States here. I'm kind of on a fact-finding mission about what's been going on in America since the big change.
You finding yourself?
I'm finding myself. I'll be asking you guys some questions about what's been going on. Have you guys listened to this before?
Yes, we have.
Okay, so you're familiar with the format?
Yes, we know that we need to be extremely informed.
Yeah, incredibly informed. I assume you've been researching it all week.
Right, all of our lives, in fact.
It's the moment your life's been sort of building up to is pretty being much a guest on this unplanned podcast, which I think we've just told you what it's going to be about. So,
yeah. This is our audition. We're actually competing against each other in an audition to become a local news anchor.
One of you could be our on the ground correspondent if you play your cards right.
Yeah.
My parents are very disappointed.
Cool. Well, we open our show every week with a section called The Facts.
Facts.
The facts. So, like I said, I'm on a bit of a fact-finding mission. I had a look at the inauguration date, and it looks like this week marks 2 months of Trump.
2 months. It feels only been like 2 months. 2 decades.
Yeah. How has it been?
Well, he told his supporters they're going to get tired of winning. So much. So we're going to win so much, you're going to be just tired of winning. And I think maybe one
mean?
Of the most true things he said is you're just exhausted. I think everybody is pretty much exhausted.
By him and his rhetoric.
Oh, there's just so much news. There's just so much of it.
What I wonder is, what kind of stuff is being overlooked in the news or not getting reported on just because there's such a tidal wave of Trump stuff all the time happening?
Is that one of the main things that's happened? Is the news is being replaced by sort of daily, or I guess 24/7 Trump.
Yeah, everything is just a 24/7 Trump channel, pretty much.
And so what's been going on this week? What are the main standout Trump stories? 'Cause I can't keep up.
Well, I think that the main thing in politics right now are two hearings that are happening. One is the confirmation hearing for his nominee for Supreme Court, whose name is Neil Gorsuch.
Yeah.
Okay. Who seems like a pretty saintly compared to all of the other people he's nominated for
all the other jobs.
Right, for all the other jobs.
Everyone else has sort of read a hit list of bad people for those jobs.
I think Lindsey Graham, senator, made the joke where they're like, oh, we're just happy you're not, a TV personality. Like, har har.
Right, he's passed the bar.
He is a judge.
He is a judge. Yeah,
okay.
He did nominate Judge Reinhold from Beverly Hills Cop.
Judge Judy gets wheeled in.
Yeah, exactly.
And
which is supposed I nominate Judge Judy for Supreme Court. That'd be a good one.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did just pick the first judge he thought.
Yeah.
And so, what are this guy's credentials? This judge. What's his name?
His name is Neil Gorsuch.
Fact number one: we have a name.
We have a name.
Okay. Is he? I'm assuming he's conservative, but to what degree?
He is conservative, but I don't think that he's the level of conservative that you might anticipate. All Supreme Court nominees like to say that they are apolitical and that they leave the politics to the side and that the law is above politics.
But, of course, yeah.
I mean, he wants to, or he doesn't want to, but he says he's in support of Roe v. Wade, and even though that's, or he respects the precedent of Roe v. Wade. And
okay, so he's not looking to come in, make waves, change things, and throw out the rule book.
No.
The hope that you hear from people, liberals or Democrat, people center or left of center, wherever that falls these days, is he is like a John Roberts, where I think this is a fact. He was a George W. Bush nominee who, of course, they all, if you're a Republican nominee, they hope you're going to be kind of towing the line for conservative ideals, but he has ended up kind of being more of a centrist. So I've seen a lot of people on the left saying, hey, we shouldn't, this isn't a hill to die on. We should, support him. But the situation is that this was a stolen seat right?
Right, because Obama nominated a guy named Merrick Garland who nobody could come up with a single, even slightly negative thing to say about him.
But through parliamentary kind of sleight of hand, the Republican majority House, yeah, we're like, oh, well, we can't have a hearing yet. And then they just kind of let the clock run out on Obama.
Story of Obama's life, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It
was just
exactly. So, because they could see the election coming, and they were like, even though he should be allowed to choose the seat, it's a few months away, we might get our own person in.
Yeah.
So there's another, you know, faction of the left and / my Twitter, which is like, you're a pussy if you don't just, like, filibuster this and be like, I don't care how reasonable he is, like, you're not getting this seat.
Pick your battles, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
This guy sounds okay, and there's loads of other shit going on.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so this is happening at the same time as some of the congressional committee's hearings on some of the stuff dealing with Russia and
right.
with wiretapping and all this stuff. And basically they came out and said earlier this week I believe it was Monday, they said, we generally do not discuss any ongoing hearings whatsoever, but we're going to make an exception to alert the public to the fact that President Obama did not tap Trump's wires.
Right.
Two P's.
Yeah,
so James Comey, the FBI director, was kind of summoned. I think, like, the Republican, like, senators were like, look, like, you work for us. Like, we don't want to, like, you need to just come out and say if there is an investigation. And he did that. So, like, it wasn't news. We've all, like, read that there's an investigation going on, but it wasn't confirmed until he came out and was like, there is absolutely a FBI probe going on with people in the Trump campaign.
Wait.
I can't name names, but it's going. That's a fact.
Because a week before the election itself, he came out and said Hillary's back under investigation.
Right, that's.
But he's decided to hold off until Trump won to tell everyone that Trump was also getting investigated.
Yeah, so he confirmed too that this investigation into Trump's campaign's contacts with the Russians has been going on since July.
Right.
So what's infuriating for someone of the Hillary supporter was he publicized hey, by the way, there's some emails, and then, oh, well, you know, there's no investigation, but we thought you should know that, like, some emails were leaked.
And he was also obsessed with this idea that she was under investigation, for the bank.
Crooked Hillary.
Hillary.
Lock her up.
So obsessed with her he used that word so much about Hillary is under investigation, and look at, he was under investigation the whole time.
So this Comey guy, is it Comey?
Comey, yeah.
Because I think he sounds biased.
There was a photo that was going around Twitter that was his household. A photo of his home with a Trump, like, sign.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't see that.
So there was kind of... I can't verify if that is a fact.
But there's something on Twitter about it.
I saw it on Twitter.
A Trump-themed mantelpiece.
I am using Trump logic. I saw it online, so I'm telling all of your masses of followers.
It's a fact now. The tens and tens of listeners are going to go start Googling that.
Yeah.
But the other Russian thing that's going on, so that he had this campaign manager last year who I can't remember the name of, but he looks like he'd play... like a gangster in a porn film.
Paul Manafort.
That's the guy.
Yeah, the guy who was involved in dealings with Russia that had nothing to do with politics. Allegedly, it was just like him serving a Russian oligarch for his business interests.
Yeah, he had a $10 million a year, like, salary essentially to lobby for this oligarch from like 2005 to 2007 or something.
Oh right, so it was a while back. Was he doing anything based in Russia last year when he was also very much involved in the Trump campaign?
I don't think so, but he did make he says he wasn't. I don't know if he was in any official capacity, but he did make a few trips to Russia
last year.
I mean, maybe he was just...
a big fan of the
human cuisine.
And the history.
He was also involved somehow... shit, and this is where it falls apart for me. There was, like, those riots in Ukraine after their president kind of backed away from, joining the EU, some sort of...
Yeah.
Basically,
Rory
like...
Rory can fill in the details.
Rory will fill in... Yeah, you're European.
This is what...
not anymore.
Not
but
anymore.
Just Google Ukraine.
Yeah.
And look it up. And I think what happened was... So the Ukraine was looking to get more integrated into the EU, have a bit more of a pro-European policy... Russia lost its shit a little bit,
yep.
And that's how the whole Ukraine, Crimean, thing.
And suddenly in 2014, their president who had supported this suddenly was like, you know, maybe that's not such a good idea.
Yeah.
And I think, I forget exactly what, but Paul Manafort had been, I think this is confirmed, like lobbying for that. Have you heard about his daughter?
No, I haven't heard about his daughter.
So his phone was hacked, or his Paul Manafort's daughter's phone was hacked.
Right.
And there's, I guess his daughter is like a documentary filmmaker or, sounds, you know,
like plausible.
A liberal. Yeah, she maybe doesn't share the politics of her father. And it's text between her and her sister talking about the blood money that they have. Because like in 2014, when this president, you know, the Ukrainian president was like, I don't think we're going to join the EU or whatever, like there was obviously all these huge riots and then clamped down, and she was like freaking, you know, understandably like, this is fucked up, like
if you've been,
you know,
given
our dad is getting money from like people dying.
Did she use the phrase blood money?
Yeah,
because that's like rule number one of accepting blood money is you don't then say,
you don't talk, you don't about say blood money.
You don't say blood money.
Yeah,
you don't call it blood money, you just say thanks. But okay, so she's been kind of rumbled. But she shouldn't have been. It probably doesn't count because she's been hacked. So, but who hasn't been in this whole story?
Well, she's been shown to sort of be on the right side of history, though.
Yeah.
Hacking has done her right and her dad dirty.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll make her. that'll soften the blow. But okay, so that's going on. So the Trump Russian links continue and won't go away. And then something about Obamacare. Is
Obamacare,
what,
yeah.
What's been going on there?
But before we go into Obamacare or healthcare.
Yeah.
The problem with the Russia ties is because it's so enthralling on a day-to-day basis, you're kind of hoping that you're going to wake up to the silver bullet of him getting impeached.
Yeah.
So why it's so exhausting to be an American today who maybe doesn't support him is like, you know, he used to open a Twitter for like 5 minute like kind of distraction from work, turns into like a 20 minute, you know, the minute someone starts their tweet with thread, I've learned to avoid it because it's like people trying to put the pieces together of like, if we just get this one more piece of news, we can link everything and it's all going to fall apart.
I think a little bit of patience.
You just get addicted to that and then you're like a burnout by Wednesday.
You need patience with this one. I think if he's going to be impeached, you get one shot, I think, at impeaching the president, and you need everything. You might as well just let it put up with 2 years, let him do some real, like get a mix of things in there, not just the Russian ties.
Yeah.
He's going to do all sorts of stuff.
Build a case against him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's that seems to be the story sort of whenever I turn on the news over here, that one won't go away on one side of the news, and then there's other people that don't talk about this story at all. And
wait, you don't talk about Russia and Trump at all?
Yeah, like it's, and we'll talk about this in the next section, but it feels like there's very much like the news is split in two, and lots, the left basically, who people who really want him impeached are covering the Russian story. And then yesterday I was watching basically about how well this repeal of Obamacare is going and about how Trump is making great progress.
Oh, were you watching that on Fox News?
I was watching that on Fox News.
Okay. that explains it, yeah.
Okay, so is it not going well?
I don't believe it's going well. Congress is voting on it today. I don't think it's going to get passed because so many members of the GOP have serious issues with it, and it's been a frantic scramble where Trump has literally had to like campaign for it. Like he's been championing it at rallies and trying to
threatening like failed mafia.
This isn't
threats to like congressmen of like
really already.
Yeah, he's like I'll come after you. Or he's like you're probably going to lose your seat if you don't vote for this. And
it's honestly
because that's how it works.
It's honestly like having a child who is the president and has a Twitter account.
But there was Rory, I would like if you can find it easily right now as we're talking. Did you hear about? I keep hearing about some article about Trump's relationship to Twitter that had some sort of inside scoop about like how he sees Twitter and how he reacts to Twitter behind the scenes, and his obsession with Twitter. And I never got a chance to read it, and I feel like there were probably some choice quotes that we could find that would be
that
amazing.
Sounds like the kind of research that this podcast
is
built on.
Yeah,
I saw a headline, wasn't for me.
Right.
But the most relatable aspect of him is just his obsession.
His obsession
with
Twitter.
Twitter and slights.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I totally understand that.
I heard the whole thing's just run off a BlackBerry that doesn't have a password protect on it. Like, isn't password
some sort
protected?
An Android phone.
Okay, but
but which are less secure than iPhones, I've been told.
Okay, but so it's not really in safe hands, both literally and metaphorically. But what's going on? So with Obamacare, why does he want to repeal it, and what's going to happen if he does repeal it?
Well, I think he wants to repeal it just so he can say that he repealed Obama's biggest achievement in his term. And if he does repeal it, the number that was calculated by a nonpartisan committee was that projected 24 million people will lose their insurance. And
who have gained insurance,
insurance
in the past 7 years.
Why is he anti them being insured? Because it costs money.
I don't think he's anti them being insured, or so he would say. I think he's anti other. He's anti premiums. He's obsessed with the cost of insurance being low. So I think he'd rather have 24 million people lose insurance than he would have it be higher premiums for more people.
Okay, and so surely, so even some of the Republicans are a bit kind of concerned about his plans.
I think it's going to cost their constituents a lot of money too. Yeah. It's an expensive. Not that I could attempt to do the math or explain why, but I think basically whatever the plan is has been shown to be worse for everybody.
I mean
that was clear in the election though. Yeah. You didn't need to see the Obamacare repeal breakdown to know that this is going to be worse for everybody.
Yeah.
Obama was made the boogeyman for 8 years, and they attached his name to like this biggest piece of legislation that he kind of passed through.
Yeah.
But like when you get into the nitty gritty of it, like you break it down of like what it does, there are a lot of Trump supporters who are like, well, you know, no, that's, I mean, famously, are people like, well, that's the Affordable Care Act has like gotten me coverage for this, and people are like, that's the same thing. Like that's you know what Obamacare is getting you coverage for this that you previously didn't.
Yeah.
Never name something after yourself because it then.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
It just confuses.
Well, I don't
everyone.
Think Obama named it. I think the public named and the media named it for him.
Yeah. Because now, Trump's just gonna hear that and go, right, I'm getting rid of that.
Yeah.
But don't know what it is. Could be really good, but it's named after Obama. I need to destroy it.
Well, the other part of it is that under the new Health Care Act that is being pushed through today, they're taking away a lot of opportunity for coverage for people who are addicted to substances, which in the United States is really important right now because there is an opioid epidemic that is raging and
what sort of epidemic?
Opioid or opiate, heroin.
Oh, okay. You guys are back on the heroin, are you?
Yeah.
Well, specifically, and the scary, if you really want to get scared, read up on it's, I think, fentanyl.
Mm. Oh,
it's
no.
What killed Prince. So it's a synthetic heroin like opioid drug that I forget which company made, but like synthesized. And now it's like on the black market because it's, you can. Like meth, it's like you can make it. You don't need to grow poppy seeds, right? You can make it in a lab.
Yeah.
And it's like an order of like 100 times stronger than heroin. So like people who buy heroin on the streets now, it's always kind of spiked with this fentanyl. But because the margin of error between like this is the amount of fentanyl that will get you high versus this will kill you is so razor thin.
Yeah.
That's so many people die now.
People are like dropping dead in the grocery store aisles and stuff. And what's
really
interesting about it is that this is unlike a lot of, this is a primarily white rural problem.
Yeah.
And so it's something that's affecting the Trump voter base.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that it's sort of a cruel irony that they would vote for him, and then he would
take away their insurance.
Would take away their ability to get better.
Which, in the scheme of like what is going to, I don't have the breakdown, but like treatment for addiction is probably one of the cheapest.
Yeah.
Things in a kind of Medicare budget. I don't know.
I guess any kind of U-turn is just expensive, just by its very nature. Like U-turn in policy, just the cost of like shutting something down and starting something new again, but yeah, this doesn't sound great.
No.
My final question was going to be, so yeah, like, has it really been that bad?
It certainly hasn't been
the first 2 months of Trump.
I don't think my life personally has been all that affected by it from a policy perspective.
He'll be annoyed about that.
He'll be.
He's really gunning for you.
He really wanted these New York liberals
to suffer.
To suffer, but I think it's been, I think it. Has just been a disaster of professionalism, democracy. Like, it's just shown what a shit show the government can be and a presidency can be. It's just made us look totally ridiculous. I can't speak to the practical implications because I still wake up and do the same things every day, but unlike many other people in this country.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you saw this with Brexit, too. Like, I know from personal experience that, like, it's made, like, it's kind of split family members.
Yeah, family
members. Older generation, like, people's parents who, like, voted for Obama or suddenly, like, voted for Trump.
Yeah.
And that, like, causes some...
So now we just don't talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It just adds this absurdist, surreal layer onto everything where it's just making you question reality in a degree that you never have before, which is a profound... That is a profound impact in its own right.
Gosh. So besides just anxiety level and productivity at work, like, no, it hasn't directly affected. But yeah, I mean...
Sense of purpose is gone.
The thought of, like, what if North Korea does X, Y, Z? Like, what? And the Wall Street Journal, which is, like, a pretty kind of conservative, you know, businessman's paper in the United States, like, did an op-ed on their front, I think their front page, which was basically calling that out of, like, how dangerous it is to have... If President Trump had to, like, go on TV tomorrow night and it's like, look, we have intelligence that North Korea is doing, you know, about to launch a missile. Like, we need to act. Like, who's, at this point, going to fucking believe him, you know? Like, it's a problem.
It's true. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of potential for bad things to happen this year, but technically nothing has actually happened yet. Just...
Nothing has happened except, like, extraordinary damage to everybody's reputation, as well as...
thank God.
For the people who were affected by the travel ban for those first few weeks,
of course,
they were certainly impacted.
That one's, like, okay now, again?
It was shut down again.
It was shut down again, although Trump insists that he's going to keep hammering away at this travel ban stuff.
Okay, so bad things haven't happened, but not for lack of trying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the economy, actually, on the other hand, is not doing. The markets are up.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, anyway, those were the facts. Thank you both for helping me out with that one.
Glad to have assisted you in any way.
Task Force.
So, are you guys familiar with Task Force?
We are now.
Okay. So usually I get a call from a celebrity asking me for some kind of, or well-known public figure asking me for help with something.
Drop some names. Who?
We've had, like, George Osborne last week. he was our chancellor.
British celebrities.
We've had Theresa May. I feel like Obama called once.
Mary Berry? Paul Hollywood?
Probably, like, head of the BBC. We had the head of...
Zane Lowe.
I think we had, like, the head of feminism called 1 week. And who else? Probably, anyway, I think what's been happening is they've been calling my phone and they realize I'm abroad because I haven't had any calls this week from anyone well-known. So I think, you know, when you get that different call, like, cooler ringtone, they're cheapskates, these well-known people. Oh, I had God call me 1 week.
And she informed you she's a woman?
It was a woman, actually. Yeah, it was. So I've got a task force that's come from me. So anyway, I'm sat there yesterday trying to watch. I wanted to watch some of the coverage on the London terrorist attack. So I think, like, it'd be weird if I didn't acknowledge this has happened. There's not much funny to be said about that, so I'm not going to dwell on it. But I wanted to find out something about it other than reading it on my phone. The only channel that was covering it was Fox News. And I was then engrossed for the next half hour. And it made me aware that you guys have some nuts news going on over here in the States.
By news, you mean news, like, programs?
News on TV.
So how does Fox News compare to, say, like, so Sky News is a Rupert Murdoch owned...
Yeah, I mean, it's farcical, and it's kind of shambolic, and they're always sort
Sky.
Of... Sky is. But it's still, it's, like, pretty light. And the main places that people get news from in the UK, like, TV-wise, is the BBC and ITV, which is the main independent television channel. And they're pretty much like for like. They just kind of tell it how it is. I'm sure there's some kind of underlying bias there, but it's pretty much fact-based. Whereas what I was watching was... a guy called Bill O'Reilly.
Yes.
Yes.
What's his deal?
Bill O'Reilly is...
a TV personality.
He's a long-standing member of the Fox News family.
Started at Inside Edition. What was that? There's a famous video of him from like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
He was losing his shit trying to record a like outro to like it was Inside Edition was like a celebrity, you know, news.
Mm.
It's like came on before the news. Like, here's what happened, you know, to Demi Lovato today.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like him trying to record the outro where he's like, we leave you with a new song from George Michael.
Yeah.
And he can't get it right and he loses his shit. It's very funny.
Okay. So this might be his redeeming.
It's worth a YouTube. Yeah.
He's kind of a disgruntled baby, like right wing baby boomer type who speaks for I wouldn't say like far right. I think like he does try to maintain enough of a centrist sensibility on occasion that like he can be still taken seriously.
Okay, because the hour started with "Welcome to the hour of no spin," and so I was
ready. He's like I'm gonna give it to you straight.
Okay, he's straight talking, and yet strangely had so for his London terrorist segment, looking at it, kind of sort of touched on what had happened, and then immediately his expert was the head of the Margaret Thatcher Foundation, which the guy I felt like I knew more than the guy being interviewed. It was like it was pure speculation with Bill O'Reilly.
What kind of questions was he asking?
I think like, but Bill O'Reilly just immediately wanted to go to like a people up in arms. I was like, I was in France last year, and people are just really angry about like all the Muslims, and people really angry about all the Muslims in the UK.
I do have a girlfriend; she lives in Canada.
Just the caveat there. But so putting words in this guy's mouth, and the guy's like, "Yeah, well, people aren't angry about the Muslims, but maybe they'll change their minds
someday
after this."
Yeah,
and then. What else? The other question Bill was like, he was like, do you get serious jail time in the UK if you join ISIS? Because you do in the US. I'm like, if you joined ISIS, you've joined ISIS. You're probably not still hanging out in the UK waiting to be arrested.
You don't go register at the DMV as an organ donor. Like, I'd like to also register as ISIS.
Yeah, lock me up. I don't think you hang around waiting to get in trouble for being an ISIS member. And so that was this. He mainly wanted to get to the, like, do you get locked up if you join ISIS? Because you do in the States. He said, bad things happen to you if you're an ISIS member based in the US.
He takes on that tone very often of, like, but we here in the United States, we tough guy stuff.
We'd have got those guys. We'd have got that guy before he hit the car.
I also forgot the best fact about Bill O'Reilly is there's multiple sexual, not abuse, but like...
Harassment
claims that he's settled against him. And there's transcripts of phone calls he's had with employees where he's calling them unsolicited to like have them talk dirty. And he's talking about, I'm sorry. He's like, you know, are you in? He's like, you should take a shower, you know, relax. He's like, scrub yourself with one of those.
Oh,
and he
God,
knows,
Bill.
He means to say loofah, but he calls it a falafel.
Are you rubbing
that's
yourself?
That's why he hates.
His
main reason he hates people.
He
called someone up. He's like, are you touching yourself with a falafel, right now?
Yes. Yeah.
Kind of love that. So, okay, so my task force for you, it's a relatively simple, straightforward one. Where are you supposed to get news from in this country? Like, where are the reputable sources?
I kind of limit myself every day. I check the homepage of the New York Times, and I try to read the top several headlines. But then I'll usually get distracted by, like, the fashion and style pages down at the bottom. I'll be like, oh, or like, I'll go read about an animal that was released from the zoo or whatever.
You can't fake news that. It's like address is address and that photo.
Right. Yeah, address is address.
It's definitely that color.
Yeah.
Unless it's that dress that was blue and gold. And then we don't know.
And then it really was fake news. But I also have begun listening to NPR posts a really good podcast every day called NPR Politics. And it's just like 40-minute rundown of what's been happening that day, specifically in the Trump administration and in Congress and in the government, and it's a little bit more soothing because you have less opportunity to get distracted by crazy shit or like go on down a Twitter hole or something like that. I do try to not get my news from Twitter anymore. It just it becomes too overwhelming.
Are you getting your news from Twitter, Brad?
I ended up subscribing to the New York Times, like, after...
I've been hearing this.
After Trump got elected. I mean, their subscriber numbers, I mean, he calls them the failing New York Times, but their subscriber numbers, yeah, I think, are...
Well, like, better than they've been for a long time. People want to pay for quality news because they think that there might be some truths.
So I read the Post and the Times, which, I mean, I guess, you know, he and others, you know, would say, oh, well, those are just liberal rags. I guess if you wanted a, like, reputable, more right-leaning news source that wasn't totally bonkers and unsourced, it would
might be
like
the Wall Street Journal,
yeah.
Okay. Because, I was watching it last night on TV.
Actual print, you know. And
okay, so you have to buy a paper if you want. So the TV's just a barren wasteland of...
I mean, I do think that the TV is kind of like an interesting refraction of American sensibilities. Like, it's just kind of, you get to see where certain people, the people in America who are watching TV represent a certain age group and mindset. And I think it's interesting to watch just to, like, get to understand what most people are tuning into every night. Like, my parents watch all of the cable news shows every night, and that's how they digest their news. So I like to watch those shows sometimes just to understand how they're getting their news.
Yeah,
and like you're saying, it is gripping stuff.
Yeah, it is.
And I was watching, and yeah, so Fox News was not acknowledging the Russian story at all, and only talking about the fact that Trump had been vindicated in that his phone was tapped by Obama.
Right, because these idiots, if you believe, don't understand how phone tap works, where they said, like, look, if we're listening in on Rory, because, like, we suspect Rory, you know, Rory is an agent of, you know, is a Russian spy.
Yeah.
But you call me, I'm going to be picked up on this phone call. Like, I'm not being surveilled.
Yeah.
But, like, he's using this as vindication of, like, well, people in Trump Tower. It's like, no, you dumbass. Like, that just proves
that you were...
that there are people talking to...
You'll hang around with some real shady characters who are calling you, and you're getting dragged into it.
If you went to a sleepy... pro-Brexit, we should insult some of your listeners. A pro-Brexit town, Hampshire, and you talk to someone, is there the same, if you ask them, like, oh, is the BBC kind of liberal fake news to them?
I don't think fake news is being used as much, but, like, it's starting to be. Like, some politicians have jumped onto it and gone, oh, that's a really convenient phrase to just be able to throw at anything I disagree
with.
But
is the BBC seen as, like, kind of... Yeah, here, so it's like, well, all the major...
Or the Guardian.
You know, the
No, this came up last week, that the BBC is being seen to be a little bit too anti-Brexit, especially in Scotland. It's not representing the people. Like, so 65%, I think, of Scotland voted to stay. And so the BBC Scotland, I think, is very much run with that, and they've been called out for forgetting the other 35%. But yeah, like, things are still, like, there is a split, and The Guardian's always been left and been openly left, but the BBC's, because it's paid for by the state, needs to be impartial.
And what's the kind of more right-leaning, like, Financial Times?
You got the FT is kind of like your Wall Street Journal, where it stays out of it, just talks about the money.
Right.
Telegraph, we call it the Torygraph. Daily Mail is pretty hateful. The Sun sort of swings with the populism, so it sided with Tony Blair just before Tony Blair won, and it sided with Brexit days before.
Huh.
So basically, I think they just poll a load of people, and then that informs their journalism. But they would say it was the other way around, and that they win it. They won Brexit for.
Right.
But anyway, we've run out of time for Task Force. That was quite quick, but basically you're saying I need to put up some money and actually just go buy a paper if I want to find out what's going on in the US.
Or you can look at the New York Times online. I think you can access that in the UK, right?
Yeah, I'll just do that then. I'll just do that.
You get 10 or 15 free articles a month.
Yeah.
So choose wisely.
Yeah.
Don't get distracted by any dresses.
This week's podcast was sponsored by the New York Times.
Yeah.
Quiz? So, we like to end each week with a quiz.
Bring it on.
So, I've had to make this, like, kind of... In trying to make it answerable for you guys, in that it not being about really...
You just dumb it down.
...eccentric British things that have happened, I've ended up making it more weird than usual. So, anyway, we'll see how we go, but we've done well if one of you scores a point. All you do, say your name, if you know answer, we have a quick fire round.
Wait, so we say our name?
You say your name.
Okay.
Not each other's name or my name. Or just,
was that the first quiz?
Question number one. Tom Hiddleston's favourite emoji was revealed this week.
Oh, God.
What is it?
Carrie.
Yeah?
Prayer hands?
Close. It's a hand-based emoji.
Brad, this one. to your listeners.
Brad has put his hands in the air. I sort of kind of like, well done. No, it was the thumbs up. He's a traditional guy. Anyway, question number two. What is the big trend this spring break in the US?
Can I ask you to elaborate on what kind of trend it might be?
It's a controversial trend that, like, shouldn't really be happening.
Brad.
Yeah.
Frat boys shouting, build that wall, while they're down in Cancun.
That would have been good and topical. But actually, no, they've been abusing sea creatures. They've been drinking drinks out of sea creatures and opening cans of beer with sharks.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Let's hope that doesn't catch on or come across the pond. We don't want any of that.
That's been happening in the UK?
No, that's been happening in the US.
Oh, in the US.
That's you guys. Question number three.
That's not a trend this year, Rory. That's been happening for centuries.
That is in the Constitution.
Yeah.
Things that are within your rights to abuse sea animals when it comes to drinking beer. Okay, so there's this posh magazine called Tatler, and they have released a list of words that only posh people say. Still, so that only posh people are still saying. Can you name one? What is something a posh Brit would typically say?
Gary.
Yeah.
The word posh.
No, you're not allowed that.
Oh man.
Okay, I'll give you one that you won't get. Bins, which is short for binoculars.
Oh, I thought bin was a trash bin.
It is that too. But then, like, if you're taking your binoculars to the opera, you'd call them your bins.
Okay.
You're not going to get this, are you? Okay, I'll give you a few. Jolly, marvellous, beastly.
What about scrumptious?
Let's see.
Scrummy, in the words of Mary Berry. Yeah.
No, but that's a good guess. Yeah. You could add, like, I don't know, cripes, thrilling, bad luck. We just say bad luck sometimes. Okay, so still no points? We've got 0 points?
0 points.
Okay, I feel like you're going to get the next one.
Okay.
Okay, Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah, you heard him. He waded.
A&M.
You heard of him. Waded into a centuries-old debate this week. What was it?
Brad.
Yeah?
The Earth is flat.
Yeah. He thinks the Earth's flat.
Yeah.
He's been driving around, and he's pretty sure it's flat. So.
You figure he's tall enough, he could kind of see the curvature on the horizon.
This is maybe becoming a pervasive idea in the basketball community, because there's a famous basketball player who believes that the Earth is flat. I think his name is Kyrie Irving, and all of his teammates are constantly clowning on him and being like, Kyrie, the Earth is flat, is it? Earth is flat, right?
None of us really know, do we?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like the oldest of the fake news.
We take it on faith.
Yeah.
One of those, like, there's no point in us discussing it anymore, because we can never fully tell, because none of us can.
The science is still out.
Yeah. Okay, final question. Can Kyrie win it back? With my final question, what kind of new yoga that's come across from the States has finally come to Europe?
I've already lost.
It's a new kind of yoga.
Carrie.
Yeah?
Is it... Can I have a couple guesses?
You can have a couple of guesses.
Is it aerial yoga?
No.
Is it partner yoga?
No.
Acro yoga?
No.
Naked yoga.
It's definitely like... It's one of the weirder yogas. It involves an animal.
Yoga on a horse? Yoga on a...
No, the animal's on you.
Pet yoga.
Goat yoga.
No.
It's come over from like Oregon, I think. Is that
goat yoga?
I've
never heard of
this. A goat stands on you while you do yoga. This has been going on in the States for some time, apparently, and now it's finally in Europe. So thanks for that.
Fake news.
This seems like fake news to me.
Well, you don't believe this one. Okay, everyone, research goat yoga, and the next time we'll catch up.
Is naked yoga real?
Naked yoga is real. Oh. You could probably go to a naked yoga class in New York tonight before dinner.
I just want to lose your appetite.
Yeah.
I'll squeeze that in before dinner then.
Oh, don't.
Horrible
squeeze
phrase
anything.
To use.
Yeah.
Don't squeeze anything. Well, thank you both for joining me for my New York special of This Might Be the News.
It was an honor.
Thanks for having us.
Anytime that I'm in New York. Thanks.
Bye, Rory.